wife was loved to get the highlights. She was reading something else. And
that's right. That's what we're here for. Yeah, that's the service we provide.
She was like, okay, let's talk highlights. So every kind of chapter, we would kind of break it down. It wasn't sitting in bed and taking a line each. Which
it never is.
It never is it, Casey?
Nope.
Welcome to Proofread, a podcast to help you read more of what you love and less of what you don't.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Proofread podcast. I am Tyler. Casey and I are here to talk to you about books. I have a PhD in American literature. I'm an English professor. These days, I run a university writing center, and it's an exciting life. One that doesn't leave me a lot of time to read for fun on my own, which is why I love doing this podcast with Casey.
We have some things in common. I teach writing, too. I also teach adult learners how to read. So that's why I get to read a lot, because I pick books for them to read. So I'm mother of four children, mostly grown, which is why I have a little bit of discretionary time.
I am the father of three children, and they're all under 12. I am in the moment of no discretionary time. Time is the one thing that's short for a lot of people. I would love to read more than I do. And so when I get a chance to read, the energy and effort I'm going to put into reading, I'm thinking about, what should I fill this really precious time with?
Oh, please, please let me tell you. I'll spend a whole day laying in bed reading.
So this is it. You're going to get some advice on books from someone who's trying to shove it into their parenting working life and someone who's has abundant time to read.
Which, by the way, is a present to my old self when I never had any time.
See, I just dream about the day when I can just read. Mm-hmm. And well, shall we do it then?
Let's
talk
do
about today's
it.
Book. Today's book is a book that you might have heard or seen on newsstands, in libraries.
It's on every newsstand I walk past.
When I said newsstand, I was actually thinking of the airport, like the books in the airport.
This is flying off the newsstand.
This is flying off the airport newsstands. This is an airport book. It's one that you see around. It is called The Anxious Generation, and it is about how the great rewiring of childhood is causing an epidemic of mental illness. It's written by Jonathan Haidt, and he is a social psychologist. He works at New York University. This is one of his string of books. He's kind of has several, you know, New York Times bestsellers, The Righteous Mind, The Coddling.
Which I've read.
The Righteous Mind?
Yep.
And The Coddling of the American Mind?
Haven't read.
The Righteous Mind was significantly popular.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And then The Coddling of the American Mind after that, that started with that big Atlantic article that then turned into a book. Some people think it could have stayed as an article.
Some people.
But today we're going to talk about this book, The Anxious Generation. One topic that just bounces around all the time is social media and mental health, right? I feel like
everybody loves it.
Everybody loves it. They all want to talk about it.
Actually, they all hate it, but that's they all
true.
Want to talk about
that's
it.
That's true. I had a student who recently I was talking to was like, my phone is the devil. Dead serious. That's what the argument they wanted to make, right? But so this isn't like a novel topic, right? Every 18-year-old in America wants to write their freshman research paper on social media and mental health.
That's right.
So Haidt tries to dive into that. Specifically, he wants to ask why in the early 2010s, why there was this spike in mental illness, especially among tweens and teens, and thinking about what's going on there. And this book is an attempt to kind of look at that really really closely. I'll say my personal interest in kind of selecting and pushing this book is my oldest daughter just turned 11 this summer. And so my wife and I have been thinking a lot about what are we going to do as the conversations about can I get a phone become more serious as her peers start to get phones. We wanted to kind of have a game plan. So I actually got this book for my wife for Mother's Day as in this really great plan of we would read this together and we would discuss, you know, how to engage this issue. I read it by myself, you know, but my wife loved to get the highlights. She was reading something else. And
that's right. That's what we're here for. Yeah, that's the service we provide.
She was like, okay, let's talk highlights. Let's talk. So every kind of chapter, we would kind of break it down. It wasn't sitting in bed taking a line each. Which
it never is.
It never is it, Casey?
Nope.
Anyway, so that's how I got the book. I'll just give kind of an overview. One of the nice things about Haidt is he's very invested in clarity, we could
organization,
say. Organization.
Skimmability.
Yeah, he's like, do what you want with this book. I think that's one of the plus things for this book.
That's probably the value of the book.
Yeah, I would say that's the value for the book. Having said that, I don't think this is a book you should read beginning to end, every word, right?
No.
Everyone can associate the rise in mental health with like, oh, the introduction of smartphones and social media being always available.
Yes.
And what he wants to connect it to is it's not just that. He wants to say that it's also connected to this, would we say, like overparenting,
overprotective.
Yeah, this overprotective kind of cultural ethos that's happened since at least the late 80s, right?
Right.
Moving on, he says, this rise in overprotective parenting mixed with this sudden spike in unregulated media on the internet, particularly social media.
Mm-hmm.
On the ninth page of the book, he says, this is actually a quote from the book, "These two trends, overprotection in the real world and underprotection in the virtual world, are the major reasons why children born after 1995 became the anxious generation."
Mm-hmm.
The book goes on to explain this rise in overprotective kind of measures on a societal level, on an individual parenting societal level, and then the rise in social media in what has virtually become what he wants to say is kind of the Wild West.
The Wild West.
As long as they're not outside and they're not going to get hit by a car or kidnapped by a stranger, they're fine to do whatever on the computer. And he's saying that's kind of an oversight, that there's actually a lot of concerns and dangers there that have been unregulated while the real world's been regulated. This
yeah,
is the
totally.
Point he wants to make.
Mm-hmm.
He's very interested in trying to come up with specific ideas, right? So like, what should we do? This is the problem. What should we do?
Mm-hmm.
He gives these 4 points at the end, and I'm going to list those off for you. And when I do this, Casey, I just want you to kind of give a response to each one,
okay.
right? So one is no smartphones before high school. Parents should delay children's entry into the round-the-clock internet access by giving only basic phones, phones with limited apps and no internet browser, before ninth grade or roughly age 14.
Good idea.
Number two would be no social media before 16. Let kids go through the most vulnerable period of brain development before connecting them to a fire hose of social comparison and algorithmically chosen influencers.
Definitely ideal.
Yeah.
Ideal to strive for.
Practical? I like your, you said ideal twice in that last
sentence. If
we're
all on board, could be done. And we could do it. If I would quit making fun of kids with gab phones, we could do this.
We all do our part. We can all do our part, right?
Yep. Like, I like that part of it, too. Like, if we all think we can do it.
He's saying, hey, anyone alone can't do it. He kind of talks about there's some programs where it's like people mm-hmm. are agreeing at a school. If you're at the school and you're signing this parent pledge not to give your kid a phone until they're 14.
Yeah, that's great. Put your efforts into that. That's something you could do.
That's kind of
like
what he's saying
at the local
is
level.
At the local level, then it's not, I'm totally left out. I can't. You have to have a phone or I'm totally left out by all
my
friends.
Yeah, my kid's the only one without a phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's saying there's some measures that you can read about them in the book that talk about ways to, you know, add some camaraderie for your children if they're growing up. Smartphone free until 14 and no social media before 16. Phone free schools. In all schools from elementary through high school, students should store their phones, smartwatches, and any other personal devices that can send or receive texts in phone lockers or locked pouches during the school day. That is the only way to free up their attention for each other and for their teachers.
Good idea.
Good idea. Problems with it?
I don't think so.
No. I feel like the parents might be the largest problem here on the phone-free school, to be honest. I think a kid will be expected, like, here's the standards, here's the set. Oh, yeah, I'm in learning. I'm not doing this thing. We're going to do other things. Feels to me like there's going to be worried parents about emergencies, constant
connected. There are
connected.
Worried parents worried about emergencies, and there are emergencies, and I've gotten texts from my kids under desks. But it's not like I think they have to have a phone. But I'm just saying, you know, that's why people are have gotten used to their kids having phones.
Yeah.
They're used to talking to them all the time.
And I was just thinking that for me, overprotective childhood needs to be kind of two things.
Yeah, right? And that's his fourth
that's
thing,
his fourth
which
thing.
I think is a great point.
So far more unsupervised play in childhood. Independence is his fourth point. That's the way children naturally develop social skills, overcome anxiety, and become self-governing young adults.
Yes, please. Let's normalize ignoring your kids. Then you'll have more discretionary time to read a book.
I could read. This podcast could churn out more episodes.
For sure. Yeah. I'm all for that.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, when I do go home, I am always with my kids.
Yep.
Like, the whole time until they're asleep. And they go to bed way too late, Casey. Can I talk to you?
You seem like a nice dad. I'm glad you're hands-on.
So, those are the four things.
Yep, they're good ideas. By the way, spoiler alert, that's all you need.
We just did the book for you. Is that where we're at? This is the point in our podcast, in the Proofread podcast, where Casey and I will give you a read it or skip it or something else clever that we think of at the right moment, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to do this at the same time.
Yeah. So we're going to like count 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Have I given enough?
I feel like it.
I have
for
a tendency
sure.
towards
yeah.
to be long-winded, as you know, Casey. So.
Oh, I know. I've always thought that about you. Our whole lives.
This is where you're supposed to say, no, it's fine. This is exactly the right amount.
No, succinct.
Okay.
Perfection.
Ready?
One, two, three. Skip.
I don't know.
Okay.
Should we work from that?
Let's work from that.
Okay.
You go first.
No,
you've got to,
you give skip, and then I'll give my
Okay.
Yeah.
I say skip because I'm coming at this from, like, you have this little precious 11-year-old.
She's so precious.
I'm sure. I can picture it. You have three kids?
Two daughters and one boy.
Two daughters and one boy. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have two boys and two girls. And they're all grown. I've already ruined them. But yeah, this is interesting to me as a retrospective and how I ruined my kids. Yeah, thank good. You. That's so helpful.
Thanks, Height. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Height. Love it. But I'm not going to argue against this. I think it's valid. I think he makes good points. I think it rings true. Social media is a problem. Free-range parenting is, like, people have been talking about that a lot. We're mm-hmm. too overprotective. Kids don't go outside. I'm on board with that. And having read it, I did read it. I thought, this is a lot of kind of overbloated examples. So don't necessarily need it. Mm-hmm. But I love the solutions.
I think it's kind of fun that any of these, I could think of, like, when I get together with parents that are my age, have kids my age, any of these would be totally lively social topics. You
sure,
know?
Sure, like, they would. They're great solutions. I mean, I kind of say good luck, but I'm on board with solutions. They're good, and you should invest your time in trying to implement those four things.
Yeah.
And that's where you should spend time. You don't need to read this book. He makes some good points. It's mostly supported, and they're great ideas.
Casey, do you feel like you're entering the stage of parenthood where you can, like, look back and judge other parents who are younger than you because they're doing things that you know are gonna or not gonna work?
No, I would never judge because I've done it all wrong.
Okay.
So now it's like, good luck, everyone.
Good luck. I tried that. Didn't work for me. Maybe it'll work for you.
We're all just doing our very best.
Yeah.
I'm just a lot more judgmental on the front end.
Making up for it now.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that thinks the value of this book would be to just inundate somebody with thinking about this topic. I think this book is a great kind of conversation starter, maybe conversation partner to think
yeah,
through.
If anyone doesn't think social media is a problem for kids.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I think for me, the moment is just thinking about, like, okay, am I thinking about this enough? Have I thought about it all? And so that was, I think, the for me going through this is it was a nice kind of couple hours to just really spend time going through the different elements of this.
Okay, so maybe it's good. Maybe you didn't know it was going to be such a problem. And so maybe you needed to be persuaded of that. I mean, I already knew that because I already had all these problems.
I mean,
so
for
that
me,
is probably good.
One of his big points is that social media is significantly worse for girls, right?
Yeah.
And it, I think, is worthwhile for me as a father of two girls to think through why that might be and what are some things I want to be keeping in mind when I'm having conversations with my children about that.
Yeah.
But then there's also another chapter in here or other section in here that talks about, you know, boys haven't been unaffected by this.
That's right. And I will just tell you, it's true, the eating disorders and the body image stuff. But I mean, I have boys and girls in my home laboratory. I've seen boys and girls who bully. I've seen boys and girls with body issue. You just need to know. It's going to be a problem for everyone.
Yeah.
Delineating, yeah, like knowing that your girls are at risk is good to know. But everybody's at risk, boys and girls.
I think that this is a book that if you're like, I want to think through this, I think it could be helpful. If you know social media is a problem and you're not concerned, what does this book add to the conversation?
It makes a pretty good case for regulating the internet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's precedent for that, and it doesn't affect free speech. And you might say, as I say, as this jaded old mom, like, good luck. But, I mean, I did get my kids' phones too young, and I regret that. But they had them, and there were some things that were convenient about it. They want to play games, and we're texting each other, and we're learning about it, too. You can be a lot more intentional about it and think about it and have all this. Now you know it was my kids that were all ruined by it, so there's your research. You're welcome. And they're fine. They're mostly unscathed.
Yeah.
But yeah, for people on that end of it, it's great. And so I think the solutions are useful. That's what we should really be talking about. How could we do this? We don't need to just be like jaded and think, well, there's nothing we can do because teenagers are all going to lie. You know, you could still try. You could still try. So I think that that is worthwhile. But also, they need to learn technology. I have this little anecdote about my daughter who was one of those girls who was on social media too young, had a fake Instagram account, a secret one. They all have them. You'll see. And knowing that they're all going to have them, is it going to stop them from all having them? And yeah. It's still going to happen to you. I know you think it won't.
It won't, Casey. I'm just
I know you think that. Won't. And it's so adorable. Bless your heart. And I hope it doesn't. I don't want this to happen to you. It's just, it will be something.
Feels like now that you said it's going to happen, you kind of want it to.
I'm
so
not.
You'll be right.
I don't. I hope it doesn't. But like, you know, we were parenting when the new thing was like, he talks about it in the book, hiding the app under the calculator.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, they did that. There'll be something new. There'll be a step ahead of you. Yeah. It's always going to be like that. Like, height didn't just, like, solve it. They're always going to be able to, do it better than you and know it better than you and navigate it better than you. But you should try. I mean, they do need to learn it. Also, I teach a business writing class, and they're all going to go out and be the youngest people in their jobs, and they're going to be the ones that have to handle social media accounts. Yeah. Now, that said, they don't have to have it when they're 5 or 6. But it's just part of technology, you know. I have the most hope in people your age because
you
think so? It's not kids with phones that we're taking it back.
Right.
It's yours. Don't buy them a phone for a while.
That's
You'll be fine. So everyone your age, you get everyone on board and then just decide to do this with phones.
Yeah.
And then let us have taken the heat for you and provided the data, which Jonathan Haidt so exhaustively cherry picks and presents in this book. And you guys can change the world, you know? Change the world.
Yeah. So one of the things we've decided kind of working through this is we're not going to do like individual phones. We're going to do like a family house phone that the kids can take and use. And everybody's like, oh, I've tried that. And it becomes the oldest kid's phone. Well, it's not this time.
You do it.
The main thing is after reading this, I'm even more intentional than I think we were already being, which is
net
positive.
That's good. I want that for people.
But Casey, I would love to hear why the skit. I mean, good positive things. Are other things you want to say about this book?
No, just I think I've made the point. It's just kind of like, got it. Great ideas. Now let me spend my time trying.
Yeah.
But because I skipped it, I did think of a book that I think that if you were to have skipped this, as your wife did, I have a better book for you.
She's going to be mad if she listens to this.
So I brought a better book for you.
Okay.
That I think is worth reading. And here's the thing. Someone told me this when I was younger, having little babies and things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to like it. But remember this. You got to prepare the child for the path because you can't prepare the path for the child.
Mm-hmm.
You think you can, and it's a heartbreaker that you can't. But you can't. Okay, so those kids have to be ready and resilient because they're going to go out there.
Yeah.
In my case, when someone told me this, it was putting my son, my little boy, my 5-year-old, on the school bus where he heard swearing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'll just drive him. He'll never hear that. He doesn't have to deal with that. And I was just talking to a friend. She's like, well, I mean, those are good instincts, but could you spend more time, you know, engendering the inner strength to be able to hear these things and see these things. So anyway, I brought you this book. I'm giving you this book. This is a present for you.
Yeah.
This book is called The Parents We Mean to Be.
Oh, yeah.
It's for you. And if you want, you can wrap it up and give it to your wife. And you can say it's to her from you. And that one is worth reading. This is largely a parenting book.
Yeah.
And this is applied. This is like a little bit more theory. Like, you know, if you want to be a good parent, guess what? You have to get off your phone. I sometimes think, well, I'm really glad I didn't have a phone when I was raising babies. I wasn't showing it to a little kid. They weren't doing all those awesome Toca Bocas hair salon. I love. But, you know, I didn't have a phone when I was parenting little kids. So that's a temptation for parents now is that they're doing this. They're addicted to their phones. I love this book.
So
I want you to read it.
Maybe in the future we could do The Parents We Mean to Be.
We can, maybe.
Proofread podcast.
Or I can just say that everyone should read it. I've already proofread it for them.
So, okay, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going on Casey's word alone. So this is called The Parents We Meant to Be, Richard Wiseborn.
Yeah, and it's a great parenting book. I just wanted to give it to you because I...
Thank you.
I didn't want to, like, diss on this book you gave your wife and not
the cover
give
is,
you an
the
alternative.
Cover, the cover is so much more inviting
it's a lot more soothing.
Yeah,
it just
the height one is overwhelming.
Yeah, it makes you a little worried about your kids.
It does. Casey, if you were to put this on your shelf, where does The Anxious Generation go on your shelf?
Okay, a shelf that I would put this on is just We Get It.
We Get It.
We Get It.
This is the We Get It shelf.
We
you
Get
walk
It shelf. In fact, you don't even need to buy it to put it on a shelf. You got it. Listener, you get it. We already told you. You get it.
Yeah.
This should already be on your shelf of I Get It.
Yeah, I think so. I think this for me is on the shelf of could have been an article.
Could have been,
you know,
an article.
Could have been an article. But so for me, that's my is.
Yeah, I get it.
But I would put this on the shelf of like conversation starter. Again, like you said, folks that are in my stage are constantly thinking about this. And so it is good, interesting kind of conversation fodder for that, I would say.
Totally. Jonathan Haidt.
You've been proofread. Well, does this do it? Will that about wrap it up?
Proofread is a production of BYU Radio and is produced by Jeff Simpson with help from Erica Price, Becca Hurley, and Lisa Valentine Clark. Find us on YouTube at Proofread Podcast for video clips and more. And please follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for spending your time with us today, and happy reading.